Epilogue. Play me. Back at the outdoor court at Lame Deer High School on a darkening Monday afternoon, the shadows stretched as the phenom planted another turnaround jumper from 30 feet out. Catching the ball, I bounced it back to her, then blew into my hands in an attempt to warm them. I told you, not my game. She dribbled toward the baseline and shot an extended one-hander that whispered through the same ragged red, white, and blue net. I glanced around at the snow-covered parking lot, and then at the wet court that she'd shoveled off herself. Hey, what do you say we go inside where it's warm?
I like it out here,
she glanced around, smiling. This is my home court, not the fancy one inside. I caught the ball and tossed it back to her. You guys pretty much made mincemeat out of those other two teams in the tournament. She thought about it.
Yeah.
Little Wound Lakota were rough, and the Seminole Tribal Club team were good. But I think if the White Mountain Apache had made it farther, it would have been more trouble, but yeah, the Navajos were the toughest. So, who are the front runners in the Jaya Long Moon Lottery? She smiled at the ground, her breath creating a halo around her anointed head.
Who told you my new name?
Your aunt.
She knows everything.
She made the statement without malice. I figured I'd hyphenate the two, including my ancestors, but starting my own tradition. Long Moon. I like it. She nodded, then took aim from the top of the key and watched as it dribbled in from the back of the rim. Stanford and Duke, right now. Catching the ball, I threw it back as she smiled.
What do you think I should do?
Study. I smiled back at her. Hard.
Mom hasn't had a drink since Friday.
That's something. I smiled.
But has she picked up any chairs?
She laughed.
My grandfather's letting her stay in the room out in his shop. And she's been there every night.
The phenom dribbled out on the perimeter, then stopped and held the ball.
Dad going back to prison?
I'm afraid so. She held the ball, studying the pebbled surface.
Life?
A couple of them, I'd imagine. She took a deep breath and then let it out slowly.
He killed Schiller and Louis?
Not much question about it.
He was trying to protect me.
I guess so. She looked up.
And Jeannie?
I swallowed. Unfortunately, no one is here to answer for that. Your father said it was Schiller who killed her and buried her in the creek bed near the Iron Bull place. She dribbled the ball once and then walked toward me.
You don't seem so sure.
She sidled up and cupped the ball at her hips with both hands, the child of her not-too-distant future.
Where's your dog?
Henry's recuperating at his house in front of the fireplace and dog-sitting for me.
And that assistant coach?
Vic, she headed home. Somebody's got to run the county.
You're all alone?
I guess.
Come on over to Big Betty's. We're having a celebratory dinner.
I can't. I don't think I can take both Big Betty and your mother in one visit again.
Then what are you going to do?
What do you mean? She extended an index finger and poked me with each word.
What are you going to do?
She walked toward the chain-link fence, threading the fingers of her free hand through it, and looked north.
Friday night, the night of the first game. I saw her too, you know.
I said nothing. She turned and walked back toward me, reaching up and running her fingers through the fringe at the ends of the red scarf I still wore.
There's no way she would have ever missed that, no matter where she is or who or what has her.
She looked up at me, the magnetite eyes impenetrable. Putting the scarf off, I wrapped it around her neck. You're too smart for your own good.
That's what they keep telling me.
She sighed, running her fingers over the material.
I felt her there before I saw her. I know it sounds crazy, but then I looked up and there she was.
I said nothing.
She stepped away. This case is kind of getting out of your jurisdiction, isn't it?
Maybe.
Then why?
I stuffed my hands into my jacket pockets and looked at the shallow puddle at my feet and my own reflection. Because some part of her is still out there, somewhere. She turned and looked at me, and I could see the extraordinary woman she would become. She remained still for a moment and then came over, resting the ball between her feet, running her hands over the material of the scarf again before taking it off. She reached up to drape it around my neck. She pulled it tight like a bulletproof vest, tucking it under the lapels of my jacket and then patting it for safekeeping.
"Something tells me you're going to be needing this more than I am."
Jaya picked up the ball, turned, and dribbled in a lackadaisical manner as she sauntered toward the rusted 64 Wildcat with the two Res for You license plates. She tossed the ball into the passenger seat as a co-pilot and then turned to look at me.
"I think I owe you an apology."
"For what?" She climbed in, slamming the door after her, and looked at me through the open window, her arm hanging out, the ghost bracelet on her wrist.
"For thinking you were just another old white guy."
I laughed. "I am just another old white guy."
"No, you're a lot more than that."
She stared at me with the side eye of that lodestar pupil and then hit the starter on the Buick, and then hit it again, and again. She shook her head and then slumped in the seat.
So much for my dramatic exit.
I walked over, popped the hood. She did as I asked, and I lifted it and stared at the engine, the way old white guys do. Amazingly enough, I saw where the choke cable had jammed the carburetor linkage. I reached in, flipped it loose, and untangled them. "Try it now," she did, and the Wildcat caught, sputtered, hissed, backfired, and then settled into an uneven, quasi-purr. I closed the hood and walked around to the driver's side door. "Are you sure this heap isn't related to Resdog?" She ignored my question.
"I graduate in May, and I'd like you to be there."
I dropped my head, unable to look her in the eye. "I'll see what I can do."
"I'm giving you another reason to come back."
"Am I going somewhere?" She stared at me again for a very long time, the way women do when they know you're telling an untruth. This is the part where my war pony and I ride off into the sunset. And they did. Watching the rattletrap motor down to the school's exit, I was overwhelmed by a sense of loneliness and a palpable feeling that I would never see her again. Taking a deep breath, I pulled the scarf a little closer around my neck and thought nothing but good thoughts for the phenom that she would light up the sky just like the piercing stars that were just beginning to puncture the winter night. Standing there in the empty parking lot, I looked back at the basket, the rim, and the horsetail net casually moving with the breeze, and I could feel the frozen tendrils of the High Plains winter reaching in and squeezing at the blood attempting to circulate in my veins. At least, that's what I hoped it was.